time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, and good morning to one and all. Yes, he's on again. Oh, at my age, you just wonder sometimes how long he'll be on or whether he'll ever make it. Well, anyhow, it's another day. It's a, well, not a bad morning at all. And kind of quiet around here. So how y'all feeling out there? Yeah, have you had your share of the fall leaf colors? Now, this is the weekend, obviously, when they reach their full color. Now, if you were going to eastern Ohio, oh, you go up and down all the hills and look beyond. The only thing is, once you've seen one hill of colored leaves, the next hill looks the same. Some are red, some are yellow, some are still green. And so it goes. But I'm a veteran of many years. Back in another era, I was a merchant popping corn on the street in the little town of Lucas, Ohio. Now, some of you have been through there. It's on Route 39. But that was another part of my life and kind of almost forgotten. Except, well, my daughter Kathy used to help me pop corn. So did my dad. And this would be the weekend that we would sell probably 400 to 500 bags of good, fresh popcorn. I used to buy it from Wyandotte. It was a breed called Super X. And, oh, it popped so large. It was so delicious. And you know what I charged per bag? 10 cents. And still made money. Now, you'd have to charge a dollar. Oh, but that's a whole other era. And as cars went through this little village of Lucas, and they smelled my corn popping on the sidewalk, I could see their brake lights go on. They would stop and park somewhere and walk back and get a bag of popcorn. 10 cents, can't beat it. I relish those days of popping corn on the sidewalk, though. It was really a lot of fun. In fact, I took a two-wheel push cart and made a frame for a roof and the whole business, you know, had it all fixed up nice. And I still have, it's not related, but I have another two-wheel push cart. And if I was younger and could modify it a little bit, I could make popcorn once again somewhere. Although maybe health regulations now would make it too costly. Maybe you'd have to have so much, whatever. So, how did anyone listening ever had a bag of my popcorn? Oh my! Okay, so I got some things to give away today, if you like. You heard Scott mention them. Zoo tickets. Tickets to the Wilds. That's an area kind of managed by, what's his name at the Columbus Zoo. And I got a certificate for 5 quarts of regular oil change at Huntsman Auto Department. Okay. So I was trying to think, you know, it's a job for me to think of questions that might be interesting and educational both. And so here's my first one. Now, I've been, in fact, I took a group of Marian people to Monticello. That's Thomas Jefferson's home down, what state's that in? Not West Virginia, is it? What state is Monticello in? Well, anyhow, I reached down and picked up out of Thomas Jefferson's garden a handful of clay. And I stuffed it in my pocket. I always like to do that. And so I still have half a wad of clay from Thomas Jefferson's garden. I also have some rusted flakes of iron from the breakers in Rhode Island. Oh, that a big estate there where, you know, only millionaires ever got through the gates. But when I took a tour group there, I noticed on the outside their iron gates needed some work. It was peeling. So I took a couple of peelings of iron and for souvenirs to say those little pieces came from the breakers or whatever it was called at that time. All right, now, Monticello. That's an interesting place. Thomas Jefferson was an inventor. Jefferson had it picked so he could stay in bed and his bookshelf could be rotated 180 degrees. And on the other side of his bookshelf was his dinner or his breakfast, whatever he chose. His servants down below would have prepared that, brought it up, and all he had to do was push on the book rack and turn around, and there's his food rack. Thomas Jefferson. Now, here's something else. He was very much interested in, well, most anything. Architecture, for once. In fact, yeah, there was a particular type of extra architecture that he liked. But my question this time would be, Thomas Jefferson had something related to timekeeping. And it was so unusual. What was it? If you've ever been to Monticello, you would know. Or if you've read books on Monticello, you would know. What is this strange apparatus, or whatever, connected with a clock in Jefferson's home? What did it have to do to keep his clock wound? What winds your clock? 7403-39944. I bet no one knows. I know, because I was in there. I went all over his house, yeah, from one end to the other. I could see where his servants brought up his food and this and that. Really quite interesting. Plus his garden, oh my. His clay from his garden that I have at home. I know you're not supposed to do things like that, but I didn't figure one lump of clay wouldn't hurt anything. Okay, but what is it about the timekeeper in Monticello? His clock had a particular feature. I don't know if there were ever any other clocks with that feature or had to have that particular feature. Okay, what was it? I've seen stories on architecture at Monticello, but I've never seen anything on TV in regards to his special clock. And what was it? No, it wasn't a cuckoo clock, that's for sure. Cuckoo clocks would have been under his dignity, I'm sure. Monticello, Thomas Jefferson. What was different about his clock? Okay, now, since obviously that's a very difficult question to answer, I'll ask you another question concerning Jefferson. He was an architect himself. He designed other buildings other than his own. And all the buildings that Jefferson designed had a particular feature to them. All of them. He loved this. There's a building in Marion that you would think that Jefferson designed. One building that I know of in Marion that Jefferson could have designed, because it has the feature that he so loved. 740, and the building is still there, I think, yeah. So 740-333-9944. What was the feature, the favorite feature of Monticello or Thomas Jefferson, the architect? He was quite a guy. You ever study Jefferson? Yeah. He was something else besides a politician. Whoa. Okay. So, Moral United Methodist Church tomorrow morning will have a quite a yummy breakfast. You know, all the things that add a little bit of weight to you. Sausage, gravy, and biscuits, bacon, sausage, pancakes, scrambled eggs, home fries, orange juice, things like, oh, it sounds delicious. Okay. And it's all you can eat. All you can eat for $6. Kids are $3 if they're 12 and under. Yeah, as if little kids can't eat much. But children, $3 if they're 12 and under. $8 for us adults. All right. Now, what did Thomas Jefferson like in architecture that he used in buildings he designed? Now, the one building in Marion that he designed, and I've asked this question before, the one building in Marion is not too far from us because it features something that he loved, dearly loved. What was it? Do we have any people that have studied Jefferson in college or elsewhere? I don't think you'd learn that in high school. 740-333-9944. Are my questions too hard today? Obviously they are. Now, can you tell me, and there's some on Mount Vernon Avenue right now, what are these orange barrels made from? The orange barrels that you have to avoid hitting around, you know, because they're put up where there are obstructions. Yeah. Okay, we have a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Thomas Jefferson liked a dome top on top of buildings.
Yeah.
And I think it's the Lutheran Gethsemane Church next to Rocky's.
Yes, it is. That's the one.
All righty.
Boy, you're right on that. Would you like a prize today?
No, thanks.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your information.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Okay, bye. Now there. See, that's what I like. She had all the information. Jefferson loved domes. And I can't remember all the buildings that he designed with the dome, but we have one in Marion. He did not design, probably, but... Well, maybe it was an influence of Jefferson, but it was long after he was dead. Okay, and that's the across Rocky Cyclery parking lot. That's where it is. That was Evangelical United Brethren Church at one time. Okay, now you've learned something today, see? When you go by that area, you can look over there and see that dome, and remember, that's a Jefferson favorite. Okay. Now, my next question needs answering. What are these orange barrels made out of? Yeah, remember they used to be 55-gallon drums? I think they're probably still 55 gallons. But they don't hold water. 740-333-9944. So what are those orange barrels made out of? That shouldn't be too difficult. 740-333-9944. What else can I tell you that you don't know today? Let me see. I'm trying to see here if there's any other. Not well, the fact that we'll be open today to pick up your prizes from now until 1 o'clock. Okay. All right. Oh, and yes, here it is buried underneath some other things. Oh, and let me mention. James Anderson, I was all mixed up. I thought yesterday was James Anderson's day, but it's next Thursday. Okay, here we go. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, is them barrels made out of plastic?
Yes, they're plastic barrels.
That's what I thought. That's a hard one now. You know?
That was a hard one. Would you like a prize today?
What have you got, zoo tickets?
Zoo tickets.
Yeah, I'll take them, please.
Okay, you get two zoo tickets. And what is your name?
Larry.
Okay, let me write that down here. So when you come in and say, I'm Larry.
Yeah, I'm Larry.
Yeah, okay.
It's an old name. Nobody uses it no more.
I haven't heard of anybody named Larry in a long time.
No.
I've got a good friend of mine, Larry Eblin.
Oh, I know him.
Do you? Yeah, raises buffalo or bison.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we go to church together every Sunday.
Yep, he's a nice guy way back. I knew him way back. Not very good, but I knew him, you know.
Hey, I worked with Larry in 1958-59. On the farm the radio station owned. Larry's dad was the manager of that farm. Do you remember?
I think my phone's gone dead.
Your phone went dead?
I think my phone's starting to die.
Okay.
I got to put it on the charger.
Okay. Hey, we'll see you, Larry.
Okay, Charlie. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay. That was Larry. Okay. Zoo tickets. Okay. All right. Today is the 25th. So, anyhow, next week, James Anderson will be on Thursday. Here I was jumping way ahead in time because the fourth Thursday of every month, we meet in Bucyrus, which we did yesterday, with my class of old-timers. We're all 85 years old, all of us. And I just took for granted, because every time I have that dinner over in Bucyrus, that's the day that James Anderson's with me. But because of the longer days of October, James will be with us next week. And we'll be talking about everything that happens in the fall. Okay. Let me see here. Make sure I got the... You know, it's really confusing to me. I had my phone way up, and I'm talking, and apparently I come over the phone almost as good as a microphone. I don't know. Isn't that funny? Okay, let's go back to more questions today. Now, I have in my possession, and someday I'd like to find somebody I could sell them to, I have 11 volumes of Jonathan Swift, written by Jonathan Swift.
Charlie, do you know because of you, more Marian residents know that flipping the bird was invented in 320 BC than in any other county in America?
Yes, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story.
What's that?
At 320 BC, in 1 minute, the fat lip was invented.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, if I'd have had James's calendar in front of me yesterday, I would have known it wasn't his day. He'll be back with us on the 31st, Thursday of next week. All right, from 10 till 12. And on the 29th of next week, they are going to be collecting milkweed pods on the Tallgrass Trail, starting at Her Road parking lot at 5. Well, that'd be interesting. I've got a whole collection of them already in my trailer at home. I cut them off because they were mature off of my milkweed and had to chase those red insects off of them. Those red insects, they inundate the milkweed plant this time of the year. And I don't know what they're called. Now, that would be a good question, to name the red insect on a milkweed pod. You see,
more than the larva of the butterfly, use the milkweed plant. Thousands of them, of these bugs, all over. And their babies, every day their babies get a little larger. It's really amazing. Now, don't forget, too, speaking of things like that, this is the rutting season for deer. So you got to be extra careful. They may rut right in front of you. And you've got to be prepared to stop, or you should not go fast enough that would prevent you from stopping when you see a deer. Oh, boy, there's been cars already wrecked in Marion County, totaled from deer. Okay, today is what? The 25th, yeah. Now, tomorrow, Trail of Treats event at Tallgrass, 4 to 6 p.m. Dress in your costumes for a fun night. The Marion County Park District and other volunteers will be passing out candy and treats for kids along the trail. How about that? Now, you know what's going to happen the next day? Trunk or treat at Dayspring Wesleyan Church. Oh, that is another big event. I suppose there are other churches offering the same thing. Candy. Now, I wonder, what else could you offer kids other than candy that would be better for them? I don't know what it'd be. Any kids would not like anything else other than candy, would they? Okay, but the big treat day at Tallgrass Trail will be the 26th, which is tomorrow. Dress up in your costume, and it'll be from 4 till 6 p.m. All right, and if you collect any milkweed pots, bring them out. They'd probably like to have them. And then on the 31st, James Anderson will be here. All right. Yes, there's always things going on at the Friends of the Park Tallgrass Trail. It's so good to see because for years and years, I was connected with the Crawford County Park District, and I did a lot of special events there and always enjoyed going there for their Fossil Day and their Arrowhead Day and this and that. And now Marion County is coming alive with the Park District. And it can only go another way, and that's bigger and have more facilities. Now, in Crawford County, the Timken Roller Bearing Company gave $300,000 to build a building with an auditorium in it and a display area for the Park District. And boy, I tell you, that's used every week. Woo, wow. Okay, another question for today. Can you tell me in what city was Alex Trebek born in Canada? That's Canada. What city is he a native of? Alex Trebek. Now, I understand he's also has dual citizenship, because I really do think that when Alex passes away, all flags anywhere in the United States and Canada will be at half staff. This guy has been more respected than anybody you could ever imagine that did a TV program. Just amazing. What a great guy. So friendly. And every day, you look and think, how is he feeling today? Well, a lot of these programs are made quite a while back, I suppose. And so you can't really tell if he's sick or, feeling really bad. What a guy, Alex Trebek. What city is he a native of in Canada? What city in Canada would you find records of his birth? It's in the province of Ontario. I'll give you that much of a lead. The province of Ontario. 740-33-9944. Okay, do I have another question? Yeah, I got a couple more. I got some easy ones. Like, what would you classify as a fair weather cloud. What brand of clouds would you say is a fair weather cloud? Yeah, you see them quite often. Anytime it's not raining. And these clouds are big and fluffy. What are they? What kind of a cloud would that be? Now, I've got tickets to the haunted house thing down there at Tecumseh. I've got Bill Huntsman's auto service, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil. And what else do I have? Oh, tickets to the wilds. I was just talking to a lady up here in our office. She said she went to the wilds and had a super good time of it. So people are really enjoying going to the wilds. And I've got tickets for there. Now, the tickets are good. Let me see here if I can find how long they are good this year. Okay, let me, just a second. I'm trying to sort them out from all these zoo tickets. I got zoo tickets galore. Okay, open air safari pass is good until 10/27. Ooh, 10/27? That's tomorrow. That's the last day for the wilds. Oh, my goodness. So if you want to go to the wilds, answer one of my questions. And then what you do, you come and get your wilds pass, and then you call that number and reserve your place, and they'll have a bus for you and so forth. It's great. The wilds. And it's nice that we can promote the wilds. Okay, now, what is a fair weather cloud? Give me the Latin name of a fair weather cloud. That's right, it's a Latin. Most everything's Latin. Oh, my. Except Feliciano. That's Spanish. Okay, 7403-399-44. Name a fair weather cloud. 7403-399-44. Okay, I thought that would be easy. It starts with the letter C. With the letter C, a fair weather cloud. Okay, how about an easy one? And I better go slow on this because I don't want to use up all of my questions in this first hour. And my easy question would be, if you were rather poor, could not afford hard coal, and had to burn soft coal because it was cheaper and also smelly, when you burned soft coal, it emitted yellow smoke. That's right. Whenever people saw yellow smoke coming out of a chimney, they'd say, well, there's some poor people. All they could afford was bituminous coal. All right. But now I want to know, what's the hard coal? What's the name of the hard coal? We know bituminous is soft coal that was burned by people during the Depression and even later on. You could smell it. It smelled like, and I've said this before, it smelled like a boy sitting on a radiator that couldn't make it to the bathroom. Now, that's quite a description, isn't it? A boy sitting on a radiator in a classroom. Caller, go ahead.
Is the cloud cumulus?
Yes, it's a cumulus cloud. Yeah. Hey, would you like a prize today?
No, that's okay. Thank you.
Very good. Okay. Cumulus cloud. Yeah, I don't know if there's any out there today or not. But I tell you, a day or two before a rain comes through, you can always tell by the moisture in the atmosphere when jets scream across the sky, sometimes leaving behind X patterns and all kinds of zigzags. Those are, nothing new. It's not a chemtrail. There are people like you to believe that chemtrails are evil plots of the government to kill us, that there's chemicals in those trails. Much is wrong with that statement. So-called chemtrails are really vapor trails left by a passing jet, heating up the atmosphere and condensing the moisture into a white, visible trail. Okay, anything, that's okay. We got bituminous coal. All right. We've got fair weather. Well, we didn't get the other. We didn't get the hard coal yet. We got bituminous. We know about cumulus clouds. Oh, and I saw a question that I wrote down that I was going to ask you. And believe it or not, I found the same question in a crossword puzzle in the Marian Star a few days ago. I about fell over, no kidding. Because that question involves, what is it that you can measure something straight up and down? Yeah, I am not talking about a level, you know, with a bulb and a bubble. No, there's something else that you can hang up and measure straight up and down. What would that be? Here's an answer. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, that coal you're talking about, that's anthracite, right?
Anthracite coal, yes, yes.
Yeah. I think we were the ones that had to burn, when we was kids, mom folks burned the other kind. We was from a big family.
Yeah, oh my. Okay. I can still smell it now.
That sulfur one that would come out.
Yeah, it was sulfur. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And sulfur smelled like a boy sitting on a radiator, and I've had that happen.
Okay, I'll let you go. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Okay, yeah. There's a good example, you see. That's from some time ago when we all burned coal. Do you remember the year? It was in the late 50s, I think, when we were allowed to convert our furnaces to gas. We waited a long time for that. And most people still had a bin full of coal, and we had the briquettes, kind of like identical looking to what you put in your charcoal grill now. Oh, here's a call. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about measuring up and down. You want to know what that line was? Is it a bob?
It's a plumb bob, yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Bye. Yep. Scott, you know there have always been rumors that Florence Harding murdered President Harding.
Yes, I have heard that.
Well, it's a bunch of bunk. I'm here to state without doubt Florence Harding did not murder President Harding. Now, Nan Britton. Jury's out.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. Okay, with more questions here, hopefully some educational things. Now, I have no idea how Plumb Bob got its name. I can understand plum from plumbing, but Plumb Bob. I've got a collection of Plumb Bobs. I really think, there are probably a lot of collectors of Plumb Bobs. Some are iron. Some are made out of brass, and maybe some just iron. Yeah, great. Plumb Bob. Some are really big. Some are small. The bigger they are, the more accurate they can be because they hang down and they don't bury. You can hang one alongside a beam and measure it out. Perfect. Okay. Now, Let's go elsewhere with another question here. We haven't received an answer yet on Alex Trebek. What town in Canada is Alex Trebek from? If you went to Baptismal Records and looked up, you'd find him. What is the town in Canada? 7403-39944. Okay. Now, here's another. I've got 11 volumes of Jonathan Swift books written in 1754. How old would that be? It won't be long, be 300 years old. They're leather bound. And they were given to me probably 60 years ago or more. And in one of those Jonathan Swift books is a story that all of you have heard or know about. Now you tell me, what would that story be about in a Jonathan Swift volume? Now it's, I think, part of book number 8. Now Jonathan Swift was in The Deity and quite a busy guy. He was also very humorous. And Jonathan Swift, because he lived at the time of famine in Ireland, he was always thinking of goofy ways to feed people. And now this is the truth, Jonathan, but he, in tongue in cheek, Jonathan Swift told people to butcher their kids and eat them, because that would fulfill their need for food. That's right. But it was a joke. Okay, caller, go ahead. Are you there, caller? Caller, howdy-do, and how are you? Okay. Jonathan Swift was the author of one out of his 11 volumes that I have. One of them stands out. And everybody that ever lived knows about it. Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, was Alex Trebek born in Sudbury, Ontario?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was born in Sudbury, Ontario. Now, I understand he might have dual citizenship, both American and Canadian. But, yeah, would you like a prize today?
Yeah.
Okay. You want zoo tickets or
Columbus Zoo.
Oh, okay. And what is your name? Can I have your name?
Huh?
What is your name?
Brenda Griffith.
Brenda Griffith, okay. I got you written down here. You know where we're located.
For some reason, I can't hardly hear you.
Oh, okay. We are located in the Ohio Health Building in downtown Marion. You know that?
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll be open today till 1 o'clock if you'd like to pick up your zoo tickets.
Okay, thank you.
Righto. Bye. Okay, yeah. Sometimes we come through good and sometimes we don't. All right, now. Sudbury, Ontario. That is where Alex Trebek was born. Sudbury. I've never been in that town. I've been in other Canadian towns, quite a few of them. I remember Jeannie and I used to enjoy taking trips on the Pelee Islander ferry boat from Sandusky to either Leamington, Ontario, or Kingsville, Ontario, with a stopover in the island in between, Pelee Island. It always stopped at Pelee Island. And I've told you this story before. You probably remember. On Pelee Island was a very popular store. They sold bone china and a lot of goodies. And if you know, you didn't necessarily have to turn it all in, but you should, to pay import duty on it. But anyhow, this guy by the name of Scott had this store. It was a store that sold everything. And so one day I went up to Scott and I said, where were you born here in Canada? He said, what? I wasn't born in Canada. I'm from Zanesville, Ohio. I'll never forget that. That stuck in my mind all these years. Scotty was from Zanesville, Ohio, not Canada, even though his business was on Pelee Island. How many of you ever been to Scotty's place on Pelee Island? Now, not as many can get there anymore because this crazy boat schedule is not like it used to be. It was every day. You could pick it up in Sandusky. It was such a great trip. Always enjoyed that. And we always wanted to go to Leamington and not necessarily Kingsville, but you never knew where you were going to end up. Leamington had nice restaurants and more businesses to shop in. Leamington is also the home of the tomato growers. And in Leamington, they have or at least they had years ago, a model of a tomato. Also in Leamington is a bird sanctuary. Oh, yeah, it's really interesting. So you can get to Leamington, though. You don't have to take a boat to get there. Just go through Detroit and get on the Ambassador Bridge and show them your identification. Away you go. Leamington. I'd like to go there again. Now, Leamington was a town where I first had escargot. Now, there's something unusual about escargot. Well, they are snails. They are snails. But do you know, up until recently, there was not a snail grown in the United States and eaten? No. They were all shipped over here in tin cans from Europe. Yeah, the escargot, you can always be pretty fancy saying, "Hey, I had escargot." But that was all imported from Europe. Now, did you see the story on television the other night? A man has a snail farm he developed, and now he's in big business selling snails to restaurants in America. So if you see escargot on your menu, you can contribute that item to this man up on the East Coast. Yeah, great. Escargot. And they're good tasting. People think, oh, they're snails. Oh, my, they must be awful. But they're not. Escargot's good. Now, I had escargot three different places in my lifetime. I had them in Leamington, Ontario. I had escargot in on Put-in Bay Island in one of the restaurants there. Then I went on a cruise. I took a group of Marian people on a cruise, and I think it was the year we went to Alaska. And on that cruise, I had escargot, and I would like to try that again. Really good. I know I can see you wrinkling up your nose now. You see, a lot of us kind of wrinkle our noses at anything we're not familiar with. Okay. Escargot, raised now in the United States, and they don't have to rely upon a European source for escargot or snail. Okay. And Jonathan Swift, in all the books he wrote, he had multiple stories in each book. But one book, and I think it was number 8 in line, which I have, he wrote one of the most famous stories in literature that if you were born years ago, you know what I'm talking about. It was a story that all the kids got to enjoy at one time. Now, what would that have been? I think it's still widely known, but it's in one of Jonathan Swift's book. And like I say, I've been trying to find a source. I really don't need these 11 volumes of Jonathan Swift anymore. My versions are not the originals. Mine were printed in 1754. Yeah, 1754. And leather bound. Oh, boy. And the leather is still good. Wow. Okay, it's 10:56. I'm saving the rest of my questions the Jonathan Swift thing and the thing about Monticello and a flower grown in Europe. And what else? Well, that's about it, isn't it? Yeah. The timepiece in Monticello, though, that is really interesting. And it's, to look at it, it's practical for a clock that Jefferson built. Okay. Oh, here we go. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Charlie.
Yes.
The only Jonathan Swift book I know is Gulliver's Travel.
Gulliver's Travels, yes. Yep. Yeah, that's it.
All righty.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Charlie.
All right. Yes, Gulliver's Travels. How many kids today can remember Gulliver's Travels? I think there was a movie made of it, wasn't there? But that's included, I think, in volume number 8 of Jonathan Swift. I have not read all of his volumes or all of his books. I should take the time out and maybe when I retire to read all of his books. Boy, that'd be something. It's written in 1754, and yet they're not the original volumes. I don't know when the originals were printed. Okay, and what else do I have here that I can taunt you with? I think the most interesting thing would be if you have a cuckoo clock run by weights. That is what I'm getting at Monticello. Thomas Jefferson invented a clock that ran by weights. But this was a big clock. Now, what did this create? It created a problem for old Jeff. And what was that problem? 7403-39944. Okay. Gulliver's Travels, yes. Do you remember Gulliver's Travels? Remember that giant on the ground and these little midgets strung ropes over him? I don't. It's been so long since I read the story, I don't know what it was all about. Okay. And golly, I'm going to have to think up with some more questions here. We're coming up on 11 o'clock. And we'll be right back after the break here at 11. And then later on, you'll hear Scott and me talking between 12:15 and 1 o'clock. And there could be some really hot topics we could get into.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Kay Ballard, performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a chuck full of nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised a wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
Well, what would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake? Oh, it's naughty, but it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
Twist
I would do anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. But well, just let me talking and I keep going.
To the oldest working actor in Hollywood, 101-year-old Norman Lloyd.
Now, did you like that, Norman, when that edict came down? Did you like to be told to stop driving?
Well, I tell you, I liked the idea of driving, so I felt deprived that he was saying you can't drive anymore. But I enjoyed the authority with which he said to me, you cannot drive anymore. I thought, well, things have lined up pretty good now. I'm the kid and he's the old man. And, you know, it's continued on every level since. So I feel I'm in my second child. That I've got a new father.
Norman,
he has no humor about it at all. He says this is the way it is. And, you know.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Search for us on Facebook by typing in WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like for exclusive content.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. In the spirit of Halloween and fall, it's now time for a Halloween poem reading right here on WWGH Radio by Charlie Evers, Marianne Michaels, Martha Douse, Mary Ellen Withrow, Scott Spears, Marla Gibbs, Mr. McFeely, Pat Carroll, Bud Collins, Hugh Downs, and Robert Guillaume.
Speedy Delivery, my name is Mr. McFeely, and I'm at WWGH Radio for a delivery. And when I walked in, they said, Mr. McFeely, do you think you could read some Halloween stories and poems? So I have them right in front of me. This is the first time I've seen them, but I'm going to try to read them for you. So here we go. The bats are creepy. Rats are creepy. Cats are creepy, too. Well, sometimes. All out in the dead of night, their eyes are watching you. Birds are creepy, bugs are creepy, trees are creepy too. A woods that empties also creepy,